Okay, Romans chapter 9. Very interesting here because 9, 10, and 11, Paul takes this detour, if you will, and all of a sudden now he is looking at Israel and very specific to the Jews. And so he goes from chapter 8 all about the love of God. And by the way, how many enjoyed chapter 8? Man, love chapter 8. Chapter 8 is such an awesome chapter, and we understand the love of God, and Paul makes that really clear. And then when he hits chapter 9, he switches gears and he's talking about Israel. Now you have to understand, And the Jews. And what you have to understand is that, you know, Paul at this point, Paul is considered a traitor by the Jews. And Paul's a Jew. As a matter of fact, he says, listen, I am the Hebrew of Hebrews. And he goes and lists why all of his certifications for being the Hebrew of Hebrews, being the Jew of the Jews, being the man of the men. And so, you know, Paul has all of this, and then yet the Jews think he's a traitor because he is now sharing the gospel, the word of God, with the Gentiles. Now, you and I would be Gentiles. Either you are Jewish or you are Gentile. If you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. Amen? So just for clarification, so if you're wondering what you are, just look to your spouse and go, am I Jewish or a Gentile? And you'll get your answer, amen? And so Paul is considered a traitor. They don't like Paul. They feel like Paul has left them. And so then he goes into the synagogues, and he's preaching the word of God, and he's telling the Gentiles and the Jews, listen, you don't need to follow the law. You need Jesus Christ. You need to follow the gospel. You need to follow the word of God, not the law of the Old Testament. We're under grace in the New Testament. And they're going, wait a minute, you are teaching them to go against what we learn and what we know to do? And he says, well, you're to do it as well. And they go, whoa, wait a minute, now you want us to change our life? And so they're really upset with Paul. He is just not a well-liked guy right now, and he's not accepted, if you will, in his culture or his universe, if you will. How many of us have ever felt out of place because we take a stand for Jesus and then our family doesn't care much for us? Amen? Anybody ever? Yeah, right? You're like, oh man, let me tell you about Jesus. And they go, we don't want to hear that. Well, we're going to live this way. We're not. Oh, you don't, you know, because how many? Oh, wow, here we go. How many used to drink socially? None of us in here are drunks, I know, right? Right? So then when you got saved, you quit drinking Pepsi and started drinking Coke, right? Amen? Right? Okay. And so all of a sudden your friends are like, hey, let's go out. And you go, I just not interested in that anymore. Amen? Right? How many have been experienced that in some form or fashion? And then all of a sudden all your friends are talking about you. Because you're not the same. You've changed. We used to have so much fun together. But the truth is, you don't have a whole lot in common anymore because now you're focused on Christ and doing the things of God, not the world and the things of the world. And so all of a sudden, there's this separation. Well, that's what's going on with Paul. I just kind of wanted you to feel and understand what Paul's going through. And so, you know, when I got saved, man, my friends all of a sudden went, you're weird, right? And they didn't want to hang out with me, and they didn't want to associate with me. And a lot of times, they didn't even want to talk to me. And of course, as soon as we seen each other, what was the first thing I was going to tell them about? Jesus. And they're like, oh, man, he's a holy fruitcake, man. We got to go. And I'm like, yeah, but you need Jesus. And man, I mean, I would chase people down. I was winning people to the Lord all the time. I don't know if they were like being real about their prayer or just wanting to get rid of me. But either way, I was talking about Jesus. Well, Paul's doing the same thing. And they don't like him. And so Paul switches gears, and now he starts sharing his heart. Not that he hasn't before, but this is real all of a sudden. Like so real that Paul is willing to trade places with them. How powerful is that? Especially in our society today, because, you know, in our society today, we the majority of people are pretty selfish. Amen? Would you agree with that? Right? We want what we want, and if we don't get it, we throw little baby tantrums. Man, you go in a store, and you see these kids throwing tantrums, and I go up to the parent, and I go, I got a cure for that. It's a spanking. Oh no, you can turn around. I'll do it quickly and diligently. You don't even have to witness it. Give me that kid for a week, man. When I give him back to you, you'll have a whole new child. Now I know you'll take them right back where they came from a week later, but you give them to me for a week, and you'll find they don't need all those pills. All they need is a good butt whipping. Amen? I got personal. All right, let's get on. So Paul, listen, Paul now all of a sudden is trading places because he's dealing with the same society that we deal with today. They're selfish. They think of themselves. They want what they want. Things are the way they think they are, irregardless of what the truth is. Right? We live in the same society. Listen, the only thing that changes in time are names, places, and faces. Other than that, everything is pretty much the same. People are people no matter where you go. Look here at Paul, though. Paul is going to do something that I wonder how many of us would do or even could do. Let's look here in 9:1. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. And you go, what's all of that? All of that is powerful. All of that is gripping. Because Paul starts out and he says, listen, I am telling you the absolute truth and God is my witness. I am not lying. I would go to hell in your place so that you wouldn't. Now just stop for a moment and think about that, guys. Most of us aren't even willing to give up a seat on a bus. And Paul says, I'll give up my place in heaven if it means my countrymen could go to heaven. And we think about that, and guys, all through the scripture, we have example after example after example. And I'm going to tell you, I would ask you this question. What are you willing to do? And this is all personal. Like, you really, this is a gut check. This is you going, okay, here's the mirror, here's my face. I'm looking at me, who am I? I mean, this is a gut check. This is causing you to really look at yourself, because the truth is, what kind of relationship do you have with God? That will determine our decision with humanity every time. Would you agree with that? Listen, if you have a lousy relationship with God, you're not going to look at things spiritually, and so you're pretty much get stuck in the selfish mode and it's all about me mode. But when you have a relationship with God, it changes. How many have ever heard of John Harper? Anybody hear of John Harper? He's not your neighbor, I promise. John Harper, he was during this time, he was 39 years old, and he was a Scotsman, and he and his daughter were getting on the Titanic. It's no T and tick, it's Titanic. I got caught up in the T's, and there just weren't that many of them. So he's getting on this monstrous ship that they said was unsinkable. And I think this is why it sank. I really believe this. And of course, it's just my opinion. We know that it hit an iceberg. That's why it sank. But I think that when the designer of the ship, who designed it and had it built, he made this statement. And I think this is the statement that sank the ship. Not even God could sink this. You guys remember that? like you were there, right? So, but that's the statement that he made before it set sail. What a foolish man. If it would have been me, I'd have been going, oh, dear Lord, let it stay afloat because you can control that. No, our arrogance says, God, you can't sink that. And I'm sure God goes, Jesus, that's a challenge. Just go ahead and drop an iceberg right there. It'd be all right. Yeah, because just do that. It'd be all right. They think because the ship is pointed, it's going to cut through that, but it won't. Think about that, right? So John Harper is on the Titanic and his little girl. John Harper's 39 years old at the time. Love the Lord. The Titanic starts going down. It gets hit. It's starting to sink. He puts his little girl on the lifeboat. He has a life preserver on himself. Once his little girl gets on the lifeboat, he spends the rest of the time that the ship is still above water running around telling everybody about Jesus and how to get saved. He sees a person that does not have a life vest. And he asked them, do you know Jesus? And they said, no. And he took his vest off and handed it to him and put it on. That person put it on. He continues to run up and down the ship telling people about Jesus. The ship goes down. It's gone now. It's under the water. When it goes down, John Harper grabs hold of a debris that's floating. And so he's holding on to the debris floating now in the water. And you guys know that the water was freezing. Iceberg helps you there. Okay, so the water's freezing and he's holding on to the debris. And while he's holding on to the debris, he's yelling out to people, the gospel, do you know Jesus? Jesus, you need Jesus. And telling them how they could have Jesus as their Savior. And then he reaches a point where he says, if you are a Christian and you're in a lifeboat, give up your seat for somebody in the water that doesn't know Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, that's powerful. And he's not just telling them to do it, he's living it. He refused to get in a boat. He gave up his life preserver. He's living what he's preaching. He was so concerned with the soul of man that he had zero concern for himself. That, my friend, is called a relationship with God. Amen? As we walk through life, Paul says right here, he says in 1, I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to confirm this to you, I'm not lying, this is where I'm at. 2, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for what? For my fellow neighbor, friend, family. I have great sorrow for them. Why? Because, listen, they're dying and they're going to go to hell. Then he goes into 3. For I could wish. It's really interesting he says that I could wish. Because the truth is, once you're saved, there's no way out. Praise God, amen. There's no way out. There's no way to lose your salvation. There's no way to give up your salvation. And that's why Paul says, for I could only wish. What kind of relationship does he have with God that he is so, and his desire to see people saved, that he is willing to give up his eternal security for somebody who spits in the face of God? Wow, He says, for I could wish, because that's the only thing he can do. He can't lose his salvation. But he says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ. In other words, separated from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. My brethren and my countrymen, according to the flesh. That means nobody that's saved. His brethren are fellow Jews. His countrymen were fellow Jews. He made it very specific, very clear. I would trade my security so that they could have it. If I could do that. If only we had a heart for the lost like that. If only we looked at everything in life and compared the value of salvation to the value of anything else, and we would always choose God. We would always be there for our you know, people go, well, my family, I don't want them to die and go to hell. And I go, okay, so let's talk. Where are you at with that? Do you talk to them? I don't want to offend them. Ugh. Right? Does that, okay, so maybe it's just me that it takes the breath from. And then I go, but can you imagine how offended they're going to be when they bust the gates of hell wide open? Or at the great white throne judgment when they look at you and go, why didn't you tell me? And we say, well, you know, I didn't want you to be upset. I didn't want to ruin your day because I know you didn't agree with me. Right? Now think about that for a minute. Why are we not sharing the gospel? Why are we not telling somebody about Jesus? Well, I'll get fired. I'm asking the question again. Why are we not? Like, what is holding us back? You know, usually, and guys, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad here. I'm just saying, let's look at this for a moment. Usually the reason that we are silent about the things of Christ is selfishness, selfish motivation, selfish reasons. I don't typically do this, but I'm going to open it up. Oh my goodness. Oh my Lord, save me. Can somebody else give me another reason why we don't talk about Jesus? Other than selfishness. Okay, embarrassment, that's selfishness. You're thinking about you. Fear, that's selfishness. You're thinking about you. Not feeling equipped. Yeah, so that's selfishness because we might be embarrassed. Right? We go under pressure and go, I don't have the answer, so I'm going to be silent. I'd rather go, let me tell you about Jesus, and I'll tell you what I know, and if you have questions, I'll find the answer and get back to you. Right? So no matter what, we're still being selfish. Somebody give me another reason. So there's a battle. Are you jumping out of the war? So? Give me a reason. Why are we being quiet? It always comes back to we're going to protect ourselves. Amen? I mean, and you can go, well, I don't agree with you, Pastor. That's the coolest part about America. You don't have to. But the truth is, the only thing that keeps us silent is ourselves. It's ourselves. Because I can go, well, if I'm afraid of what people will think, what do we do to combat that fear? Build our relationship with God more because we're strengthened in Christ. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we're not equipped, what can we do? Let's study the Word more. Let's find out the answers to their questions and get back to them and answer them. If we're embarrassed, man, we need to get over ourselves. That's pride. If there's a war going on, okay, there's a war. We understand that. Why aren't we fighting? Are you a draft dodger? You see, oh, now if there's any of that in here, don't worry. I don't know. Nobody else does, so only your reaction will give you away, remember? My pastor at home used to say, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, you only know the one that got hit because he yelps. So don't yelp and nobody will know, right? Amen. So, but I mean, if we look at this, and again, guys, I'm not trying to put anybody under pressure, but I'm really trying to get you to see that no matter what reason we have, they're all fixable. Would you agree with that? We can fix it. Every reason that was given to me is fixable. If we're going into a war, there's a battle. Well, we are all what? Are we soldiers of Christ? What do soldiers do? They fight. They prepare for battle and then they fight. Every time you see our soldiers, where do they go before they go into war? Training, boot camp. Right? I mean, listen. Our military doesn't take our kids and our loved ones and take them into straight into battle. Man, they take them to boot camp. They take them to a military training. They equip them, and then they send them out to fight, and they expect them to win because they equip them to win. And I'm telling you, God says, listen, I've equipped you to win. I gave you all you need. The only thing that holds us back, guys, listen, is our desire to please the Father over our desire to please ourselves. And some of you might go, that's harsh. Man, I'm trying to use the softest voice I have. Take joy in that. We went to, Holden and I went to Starbucks this morning. And I told him, I said, because I went to bed at 10:30 because I wanted to be refreshed and ready to preach today. So I go to bed at 10:30 at night. I never go to bed at 10:30 at night, but I thought, man, I'm really tired, and I'll actually sleep through the night because I never sleep through the night. And so I was like, man, maybe tonight's the night, and I don't want to battle sleep. So I went to bed 10:30, 3 o'clock this morning, wide awake, out of bed. 5 hours, I'm done. So I'm sitting there, and I'm reading and catching up on some things. And so then 8 o'clock comes, and Holden shows up at my house because I needed to give him a ride here. And so then we go, I said, listen, man, I'm going to need Starbucks just to get me where I can preach. And because, you know, lack of sleep, I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. And so I said, let's go to Starbucks and we'll get some. I was talking to the guy, and I said, hey, listen, I got a question. I've bought, since they switched over to the new program, how many deal with Starbucks? Yeah, okay. I didn't want to look because I don't want to ask you for a drink. But anyway, so I go and I said, listen, since you guys switched to the new program, I'm not getting any points, then I should be getting free drinks by now. And it's not happening. And so the kid that was working the window, when he gets nervous, like if he's just doing his job, thank you, have a good day, he's done. But when he gets nervous, and I've noticed this a couple of times, when he gets nervous, he'll start stuttering. And I thought, I was using my soft voice. Holden said, you were just being typical pastor. And I went, dog, I thought it was better than that. And so he started stuttering so bad, I finally went, listen, man, it's okay, you have a great day. And I just drove off because he could not get past the second word. The funny thing is, guys, we go under the same pressure, don't we? Why? Are we not secure with ourselves? Are we not secure in our relationship with Christ? I mean, really, let's look and find out what happens that separates us from sharing the gospel. What happens? What is the trigger? Listen, and it's going to be different for each one of us. What is the trigger that shuts us up? I mean, it's going to be different for everyone, so I don't know. But if you look at that, I'll bet you what it comes down to, when the pressure is on, we want to save our self-embarrassment. And so we just go silent. Or we don't know enough. And that's really a fair statement. Pastor, I just don't know how to answer their questions. I appreciate that. But then here's my next question. What are you doing to fix that? If you're on a job and you go, man, I don't know the answer to this job, but I'm going to find out so I can do my job better. Right? How many do that, right? You want to keep your job. You want to do better. You want to excel. You want to be promoted. You want a pay raise, all this stuff. But why don't we do that with Christ? Why are we satisfied with status quo when it comes to Jesus? Why are we satisfied with being silent when it comes to Jesus? That is what we need to figure out within each and every one of us. I can't answer for you. I mean, I could. But then you'd quit coming to church and I'd be up here preaching to the purple chairs. So I don't want to do that. I want faces that look back at me. I want those who are falling asleep to keep falling asleep. Like, I want to know there's people listening. But think about that. Answer that for yourself. Paul says, listen, I would trade my security for yours. Because Paul understood the importance of salvation, and that's how much he desired for his fellow countrymen and neighbors to go to heaven. We find the same thing in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 32, it says, now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin, so now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So look what Moses is saying. Moses is saying, listen, you have committed a great sin, but I am going to do all I can on your behalf to get an atonement. An atonement is a forgiveness. It is a free pass for your sin. 31, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and had made for themselves a god of gold. Now let's just stop for a moment and think about this, because I can never let this passage go by without sharing this. They made for themselves their own god. It's kind of like us making for ourselves a chocolate chip cookie. Right? What can I do with that chocolate chip cookie? It's a god. I'm going to make it a god. But what can I do with that? Somebody say, eat it. Right? I can consume my own god. And so could they. But yet they made it a god to follow rather than a god that saved them from Egypt. We do that every day, don't we? We make ourselves our own god. Anyway, just a little extra bonus that nobody wanted to hear. Verse 32. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray. Isn't this what Paul said? I'll trade you, God. I'll trade you me for them. The love for the fellow man. Do we have that? Do we have that? Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray. Grab hold of the I pray. This isn't just a toss it out there, is it? This is, I will get on my knees. I will go prostrate. I will fall to my face and beg you. Blot me out. Blot me out of your book. What book? The book of life. Okay, God, you know I want to high five their face. Instead of taking this rock and a stick and hitting the rock, I want to hit them. Right? Because how many have read it where you know Moses is pretty frustrated with people, right? He's like, oh my goodness, man, these people drive me crazy. And it's like, hey, once you come into my house of counsel, and when you leave, you won't be the same. Remember how I said about the child in the beginning that won't be? Yeah, this is what Moses was doing. But then his love for them, not just for them today, but for their eternal soul. Blot me out of your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. 34. Did I give you 30? Yeah. Now therefore go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. 35. So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. You notice God didn't say, okay, Moses. But look what Moses did. God, forgive him. Take me instead. God, I'll trade places with them. And Moses knew what the deal was. And yet he said, just take me out. All I'm asking you to do, God, is spare them. Spare them at any cost. Spare them. I wonder how we are. Look in Philippians. And this is Paul. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is what? Far better. I'd rather be with Jesus than hanging out around you whiners, complainers, crybabies, wimps. Do we go on? Sissies. I don't know who threw it out there. Don't want to know, but that's a good word. He says, for I... let me throw him under the bus. He says, for I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart. I want to be with Jesus. How many want to be with Jesus? Amen. I want to be with Jesus, man. I'm going to tell you. And sometimes it's so hard because sin just kind of drains you. Sin just pulls the life out of you. Sin is a leech to the Christian. It's an absolute leech. It will leave you exhausted. It will leave you desperate. It will leave you, and you're not even the one sinning. That's just a sin going on around you. And that sin just drag. I mean, even Paul said, John said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm so tired of this. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. People are dying and going to hell, but come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Paul says here, I'm hard pressed. Man, listen, this is a battle. Talk about a battle. Talk about war. He said, this is a battle. I am hard pressed between the two. What two? My desire to go and be with Christ and my desire to stay here and continue to pour into you and invest in you and teach you and tell you about Jesus so that you can be with Christ. Man, I am torn. Most of us would go, heaven or you, see ya. Right? And how many being honest, most of us, amen, yeah, we're like, I'm out of here. This is what I've been waiting for my whole life. Praise Jesus, I'm gone. Stinks to be you. See ya, right? That would be our attitude. And Paul's going, man, this is a battle. I want to go be with my Jesus, my Savior, my King of Kings, my Lord of Lords. I want to go where there's no sin, where there's no heartache, where there's, listen, remember he had an eye issue where he couldn't see real well? He also, as he's setting up churches all around, he has some guy following him along trying to destroy every ministry that he is putting in place. Paul had battle after battle. Remember, Paul was arrested for telling people how to go to heaven. Paul was beaten for telling people how to go to heaven. Paul was in prison for telling people how to go to heaven. And yet, what did Paul continue to do? Tell people how to go to heaven. And now here we find in Philippians, he says, man, I'm still in a battle because I want to go be with my Lord, but man, it's better for me to be here with you. What a sacrifice. As Moses sacrificed, as John Harper sacrificed, as many, many others have sacrificed, and Paul doing the same thing here. He said it's far better. Next verse. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul said, are you ready now? Hold on. Paul said, this isn't about me. This has nothing to do with me. This is all about you. It's all about those out there who are clueless about Jesus. This is all about building that relationship. And he says, it is more needful for me to remain here in the flesh and to continue to go through the trials and the struggles. It's more needful for me, for you, than what it is for me to be in heaven, because I'm going there one day no matter what. Guys, one day, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven no matter what. Nothing will ever change that. Nothing can take that away. Nothing can stop that train, if you will. When you die, you're going to heaven if you know Jesus as your Savior. What do you have to lose? I was asked a question that what would happen if somebody put a gun to your head and said, deny Christ or you'll die. And my response was, deep in my heart, I truly believe that I would say, promote me. What have I lost? Pull the trigger. You're just going to send me home. I was reading an article one time about a gentleman, an older gentleman, lived alone, and a guy, a young buck, broke into his house and was going to steal from him. And then when the old man confronted him, the young guy started beating the old man. And beating on him and beating on him and beating on him to the point where he was bleeding and he was hurting him real bad. And the old man said this, don't stop, just send me home. And the young man stopped immediately and just looked at him. The old man shared Christ with him, led him to the Lord. The young guy called the police and the ambulance and stayed there with him until they got there. Promote me. Send me home. You can't take anything from me. Paul says, you can't take anything from me. I want you to be saved so bad that I'll actually give up what's rightfully mine. Only because of Jesus, not because he earned it. Guys, where are we? In all seriousness, like, you need to search your heart. Where are we in our walk with God? Because that will determine your relationship with Jesus Christ, will truly determine your embarrassment, your fear, your lack of effort to fight the war, your lack of knowledge. Your relationship with Christ will determine all of that, which will determine your response to a lost man. And they're out there. How many remember me sharing the story of last week when Sherry and I went to a restaurant to eat dinner? And I told the girl I was a pastor. And she comes right up and sits down, pulls a chair out, sits right down with us. I need to talk to you. You're a pastor, you said, yeah. I need to talk to you. I need help. Wow. I wonder how many people would respond if we said, hey, I'm a Christian. I'll help you any way I can if you ever need somebody to talk to. Right? Because when hard times come, they want to know how we go through it so calmly. How can you act like that? Don't you know the sky is falling? No, it's just an acorn. It's all cool. Amen? Our relationship with Christ will truly determine whether we are willing to sacrifice for our fellow man for them to get saved. 1-5 of chapter 9, Paul is establishing that. He is establishing, this is my relationship in Christ, and this is what I'm willing to give up. I am willing to give up this relationship for you. And then he goes on in chapter 9, 10, and 11, and it's all about the Jew and how they can be saved and the relationship and Paul and his desire to see them there. And I mean, it's just a wonderful set of passage. And you go, why is it he switched gears from 8? Between 8 and 12, you would think, where's Paul going? Well, what Paul's doing is he's just stopping. And he says, you are more important than anything else right now. And so I'm going to focus on you. And that's what he does through these three chapters that we're going to learn about in the next year or two. Guys, where's your... New people are going, I ain't coming back. Where are you at? Because where you're at with your relationship with Christ is truly going to determine where you go. And nothing will ever change that. They have an appointment. They're not offended. Amen? Not their appointment, but your relationship will determine where you go, right? So as we look at this, I'm going to ask you this question. Where are you personally? I don't want to know, but I want you to be honest with yourself. Now, you can answer the question, and then, of course, you can make all the excuses in the world right after you answer the question to justify your position. But that's why I don't want to hear it, because I'll argue with you, and I don't want to do that. I look at myself, and I go, man, why didn't I share Christ? John, you were too concerned about you. That's because every time it comes down to that, amen? Now, there are times... very rare, but there are times where God will tell you, don't you say a word. Do not mention my son's name in their presence. There's only been two or three people that God's ever done that with me. And one of them, I was devastated because I loved the person. And God said, don't you dare. Mm-hmm. My wife was with me, and we were talking about it, and I said, when we get there, God's told me not to say a word. And she goes, I know, I feel the same way. So there are going to be times where God says, be silent, for whatever reason, and they're his reasons. But the majority of the time, we shut ourselves up. Amen? As we look at Paul and we look at his desire, we look at Moses, we look at his desire, we look at John Harper, because that's modern day, so we can put that into terms as well. And we look at their desire and what they were willing to give up. My question to you is, what is your relationship with Christ? Because that's going to determine your walk with him. That's going to determine, and by the way, some of us could be so right with Jesus, or you feel you are, and you all feel good inside, and oh, it's so wonderful, 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 but yet you don't share Jesus with anybody else. I'm going to say that relationship's out of balance. And you go, how can it be out of balance? I'm all for God. Because you're not doing what God told you to do. How many here did God say, go be an evangelist? Do the work of an evangelist. How many here did God tell you to do the work of an evangelist? Every one of us. Every one of us that are saved, some of you are like, well, I wasn't quite sure, so I didn't want to answer. You're just rebellious. Every one of us have been called to be an evangelist. Every one of us have been called to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill our ministry, the Bible says. So now you're without excuse. Dog, don't you hate that? I was talking to somebody one time, and I said, you're not supposed to do that, blah, blah, blah. And they go, give me a verse. Pew, here. And they're walking, dog, I knew I shouldn't have said that. Because now they're without excuse. Look at yourself, and I'm challenging you today to look at yourself, fix the relationship wherever it is, because it can always be better, amen? To fix that relationship with Jesus. And whatever's stopping you from sharing it with your fellow countrymen, that you fix that so that you can share. Can you imagine if nobody shared the gospel with you? Where would you be today? I'll tell you right now, with the life I was leading, And you guys know, if you know me, you know I'm wide open. I'm 100% all the way right to the cliff. And God and my guardian angel just always grabs me right about there and lets me down easy on the ground because I just keep going. I don't even stop and go, oh, I'm falling. I'm like, whoo, let's go. How are we going to land? Right? And God's like, oh, my goodness, man, Jesus, what are we going to do with this cat? We got to do something, right? Where are you at? Where are you going? How are you going to fix it? Who are you going to tell? We need the relationship right with God so that we can help other people be right with God. Because had somebody not shared the gospel with me as wide open as I am as a Christian and a pastor, I was ridiculous as a lost man. So I'd probably be dead and in hell. Praise God for somebody who shared the gospel. Praise God for somebody who prayed for me. Just a challenge today, guys. Where are you at? What's your relationship like? What gets in the way of you sharing the gospel? How much do you love your family, your friends, your neighbor? Are you willing to have the hard conversations with them? Like, these are real questions, guys. So what I want right today is I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to ask yourself the question. I want you to ask God, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me where I am with you. Show me, give me a glimpse of what our relationship looks like. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit today, right now, to show you what that looks like. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you why you don't tell somebody about Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you where your weaknesses are. What gets in the way? For those of you who do not know Jesus as your Savior, you say, well, what does that mean? I want you to ask God to show you where you're going when you die. That's hard. The Bible says if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never believed on Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as the one who died on the cross for your sins, as the one who conquered death and hell and rose from the grave for your sins. If you don't recognize Jesus as that person, the Bible says that you have no hope of heaven. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are the one who has never believed on Jesus, but you want to today, you want to change that, then I want you to pray this prayer. Now understand, the words do not save you. It is your heart that says, I believe. It is your heart that says, I don't understand all the words of the Bible, but I believe Jesus died on the cross for me so that I could have eternal salvation. And so if that's you and you're here today and you want to believe on Christ, I want you to pray this prayer. Now, the prayer doesn't save you. It's just a map to walk you through the process so that you have a timestamp on the day that you made a conscious decision to give your life to Christ. You pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. But today, I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. I turn from my selfishness. I turn from all that I've been holding on to. And I believe on you and you alone to get me to heaven. Today, I surrender all. Today, Jesus, I make you my Lord.